Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented players who are going to show their skill with words and language as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Graham Norton, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Lucy Porter. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me, this is Sarah Sharp, who's going to run the stopwatch for me. She's going to blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And so we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject I've got here is my dream job. Tell us something about your dream job in this game, starting now.
When I was about 4 years old, I went to the circus at Olympia. When the clowns came on, I was so enchanted and enthralled by what they were doing. I then realised that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, be part of some kind of machinery that evoked laughter in other people. And so in many ways, being on Just a Minute Now is part of my dream job. I remember when I was a little older, my grandfather pointed out Charlie Chaplin on the television and said...
Giles Challenge.
Bit harsh so soon, but a repetition of remember. He began by remembering when he went to the circus, and then he remembered later.
Yes, he remembered quite a lot.
Nobody else remembers it.
A correct challenge. You haven't gained many friends with that challenge.
No. But I'm here to play the game according to the rules.
And that is the way. And you have the subject for a correct challenge. 37 seconds are still available. My dream job, Giles, starting now.
As chance might have it, I enjoyed my dream job when I was during my gap year, aged about 18, and found myself engaged to be Nicholas Parsons' body double. This was an extraordinary dream job to have, and came as a bit of a surprise. At that time, our esteemed...
Paul Challenge.
Did you get much work?
Paul, given the standing of Nicholas Parsons, I'd imagine I got a great deal of work, as I was about to explain, Nicholas.
I know. Right. Incorrect challenge. 21 seconds are still available. You have another point. My dream job starting now.
The truth is, it was my dream job because our esteemed chairman at that stage was an actor working for the Bolting Brothers and playing the role of a beach attendant who was of riper years, and we had a flashback during the time when he was but a boy. This is when...
Paul Challenge.
We've drifted a little way from my dream job.
I was explaining because you didn't believe it.
Yeah, I'm just playing
exactly
by the rules, Giles, that's all. Just playing by the rules.
Yeah, I think you wandered a bit from the dream
wandered
job.
A bit, yeah.
I don't know. I think playing your
stomach...
I mean,
I enjoyed
you
talking about me. Thank you very much for that. But okay. No, you have wandered a bit off.
Okay.
A correct challenge, Paul. A point to you, of course. 5 seconds available. My dream job starting now.
In today's world of DVDs, it's very easy to...
Repetition of D, playing by the rules.
No.
Paul, you're shaking your head. Why not?
No. DVDs. Singular, plural. Playing by the rules. Yes.
So you get a point for an incorrect challenge, Paul, and you've still got 2 seconds to go on my dream job starting now.
The hours are great, and I really...
So at the end of that round, as you'll guess, Paul Merton is in the lead. Graham Norton, will you begin the next round? And the subject now is sunbathing. I don't know whether you're a sunbather or not. But...
Well, I won't tell you now because I don't want to waste it.
60 seconds if you need it, Graham. Sunbathing, starting now.
Sunbathing, because I spend my summers in the wilds of West Cork, is an exotic pastime quite foreign to me in relation to trapeze work or perhaps basket weaving. I know very little about sunbathing. I have occasionally gone to hot climates, for instance, South Africa, where within a day my head looked boiled. Pictures of this. It isn't very pleasant to gaze upon, and yet my mother has that photograph in her home because she looks good in it. I wonder, therefore, what this summer holds. Will I learn more of sunbathing?
Paul Challenge.
Do we have summer before?
Yes, we did.
Summers.
Summers, was it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Playing vitals.
You're quite right, Paul. He did say summers.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's
summer.
Right.
No, well tried. Yeah. Graham, you got a point there for an incorrect challenge. There's still 16 seconds available. Sunbathing starting now.
Sun-kissed, bronzed. How I long to be those things. I have been to a tanning salon where you go into a strange room reminiscent of something.
Paul Challenge.
Well, that's no longer sunbathing, is it?
Oh.
Because you're going to a tanning salon, you see.
Oh.
Whatever.
It replicates.
Yeah, but getting a tan is symbolic with sunbathing,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, but there's not a lot of sun indoors.
No.
It's called an electric beach.
Yeah, but he didn't establish he was going in there to get the sun. Mm. He was going there for a tan.
Yes.
A tan comes from sunbathing.
Yes.
I think it's loosely connected.
Yes, it is.
So I think I should give the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Graham, you have another point. You still have 5 seconds on sunbathing, starting now.
I'm walking on sunshine, as the woman whose name I can't remember sang so memorably.
So, Graham Norton speaking then, as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's moved forward. He's 1 point behind Paul, our leader, ahead of Giles and Lucy Porter. And, Lucy, it's your turn to begin. So, we'd like you to talk about the subject of Manchester. A wonderful city. There's no laughing matter. But maybe Lucy will get a laugh from it.
I'm going to prove there's no laughing matter.
Right. 60 seconds if you need it, Lucy. Manchester, starting now.
In the words of the great Les Dawson, people always say that it rains in Manchester, but that's not true. Admittedly, it is the only place in Britain where they do lifeboat drills on the buses.
Challenge of challenge.
Such a wonderful laugh and then quite a long pause.
Yes. That's you were very much rescuing me there.
No!
Giles, your correct challenge. There are still 22 seconds still available. Manchester, starting now.
I learned so much about Manchester many years ago when I worked on the Manchester Evening News as a columnist under the editorship of the great Brian Redhead. He taught me sundry things, including the fact that Mancunians, the name from people of that great city, comes from a Latin word mancumium, spelt with an M and meaning mother or breast, because indeed, if you want...
So Giles Randers was then speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. Let's move forward. He's equal with Paul in the lead. And there's Graham 1 point behind, and then Lucy. And Giles, we're with you to begin. Oh, the subject, waiting rooms. Oh, we've all experienced them. But Giles, talk about them in this game, starting now.
I suppose that the dead fish at the bottom of the tank should have given the game away. When I arrived in the waiting room, everybody else looked so ill. I had felt terribly well, but peering around these other wheezing, sad, pathetic creatures, my well-man clinic idea disappeared in front of my eyes. I began coughing and wheezing.
Lucy Porter Challenge.
Was well in there twice?
A well-man, as in well-man clinic.
Oh, well-man.
And I felt well.
Mm. I don't know what well man is.
Oh, it's no, because you're a woman. And but even not, when you get to the age of 40, you get invited by your GP to come to a well man, one word clinic, to check out how you are.
So yeah, it's a kind of ironic name, really.
To be honest.
Lucy, I'm afraid it wasn't a correct
That's
challenge.
That's fine. So, no, I know what it is.
Giles has another point, and he has 40 seconds to continue on. Waiting rooms starting now.
Coughs and sneezes spread diseases. Trap them in your handkerchief is a phrase that I remember from a childhood episode of Hancock's Half Hour, where we watched our hero, Anthony Aloysius, in the waiting room.
Paul Challenge.
Yes, what do we mean by a childhood episode?
Well, for me, it was during my childhood that I watched it.
Oh, I see, because you said a childhood episode.
For
of
me,
Hancock's
a childhood
Harper.
Episode.
Yes, you did make that clear, you see.
Well,
no, well, I see your reasoning, but
yes.
I don't think
I mean, give him the benefit of the doubt, I would.
I definitely
There's a lot of it flying about at the moment.
You just pick it out of the sky.
Yeah. 25 seconds, Giles, still with you. Another point, of course. Waiting rooms are starting now.
I sit listlessly in those waiting rooms, flicking through the magazines, wondering what diseases I'm picking up as I turn the pages.
Graham Challenge.
Surely repetition of diseases.
Yes.
Surely.
Coughs and sneezes spread disease.
Oh, yes. I was right. I didn't know it, but I was right.
And as I'm old enough, I can tell you I was alive during the war, and that was a phrase that was created during the war because they didn't want people to be off work too much because they wanted to keep the, you know, the home front going.
I think it was the same for the bubonic plague, wasn't it? He helped to stick the notices up, didn't he? He helped to stick the notices up.
I can't win with you, can I, Paul?
No.
Right, there we are. Graham, 19 seconds are still available. Graham, you've got another point, and you have the subject of waiting rooms starting now.
When I don't feel well and end up in a waiting room, I find myself flicking through back issues of Country Life magazine, and I realise I must live so that I can earn enough money to buy a castle in Scotland. But that is the only place on earth where they're advertised. Tracy...
So Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. And we're back with you to begin, Paul. And the subject is Sunset Boulevard. Tell us something about that amazing place in this game, starting now.
A place, but also a film, released in 1950, directed by Billy Wilder, starring Gloria Swanson, William Holden, Eric von Stroheim. She played the part of Norma Desmond, a faded, silent screen star who was living in one of the castles that Graham was talking about now, not in Scotland, but in Los Angeles. It was a magnificent look at the seedy side of Hollywood, rather unusual in that the story was narrated by a dead character who was played by the gentleman I mentioned earlier, who's found face down in a swimming pool right at the beginning of the film. And it is a beautifully extraordinary, dark view of what show business can do to you if you're not very lucky. She was considered a great beauty some 30 years before.
Giles Challenge.
Repetition of film and repetition then of beauty.
Did I?
Yeah. So, Giles, well listened. You have a point, a correct challenge. 19 seconds are still available. Sunset Boulevard, starting now.
Sunset Boulevard is indeed an extraordinary stretch of land running 22 miles through Los Angeles. I knew it well because of my time as a gigolo in California.
Graham Challenge.
I feel sick.
How desperate would you have to be then?
All his Graham clients said, isn't that Nicholas Parsons' body?
So, Graham, I'm going to give you a bonus point anyway because we enjoyed the interruption. But have you got a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Well, it was a deviation from me being well.
All right, benefit of the doubt. Point to you. 7 seconds available still. Sunset Boulevard starting now.
Sunset Boulevard is, of course, a musical by Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, which sounds like a repetition, but of course isn't. That's his actual name.
So, Graham Norton was speaking then as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's now taken the lead. He's one ahead of Giles and two ahead of Paul Merton, and then it's Lucy in fourth place. And, Graham, it's your turn to begin as well. The subject, pigeons. We all know. It's not funny, especially if you're in Trafalgar Square and you look up. Pigeons. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Pigeons. What don't I know about pigeons? Let's go, everybody. Exciting times ahead. Pigeons are birds. I'll just start there.
What?
I know. I told you, I know a lot about them.
The depth of your knowledge is incredible.
You hardly scratch the surface, Paul.
Pigeons are birds.
Yes.
Wow.
So what is your challenge
all over the world? They may not know that.
They're noting it down.
Have you got a challenge with them?
No, but he was 15 seconds going before we got the pigeons are birds. Just paying compliments to his extensive knowledge and love of the subject.
I enjoyed what you're talking about, but it's not within the rules.
No challenge
within the rules of Just a Minute. Right. So, Graham, a point to you. Pigeons. Keep the subject. 49 seconds still available. Pigeons, starting now.
Pigeons are creatures that fly through the air.
Not only are they birds, but they fly through the air.
There's more with that big problem.
Go and give Paul a bonus point. We enjoyed all those interruptions. Graham gets the point because he was interrupted. Pigeons, Graham, and 45 seconds starting now.
Pigeons have wings. Feathers. But often not as many toes as they were born with.
Lucy challenge.
Tiny bit of hesitation, I felt.
There was a little hesitation, I thought.
It was so informative.
Lucy, a correct challenge. And you have the subject of pigeons and 34 seconds available starting now.
People describe pigeons as the rats of the air, but I think that's unfair on the rodents because they don't generally poo on your head. I once met a pigeon that stole my chips, and I was incredibly cross because I didn't know that it was a flying animal, as Graham described. I didn't...
It's a tough game. So poor you challenged first.
It was hesitation.
It was a definite hesitation. In fact, she collapsed. Paul, a correct challenge. 14 seconds available. Pigeons starting now.
I now know that pigeons are birds. They are covered in feathers and they fly all around. But if you ever find a pigeon coming towards you in an aggressive stance, looking at you with those little pigeon eyes, you can say to yourself, "Oi, mate, I..."
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went again the next point. He's moved forward. It's only 1 point separating the top three. And Lucy, you're trailing a little, but it's your turn to begin. And the subject is Ringo Starr. Tell us something about that man in this game, if you can, starting now.
Ringo Starr is undoubtedly the most talented member of the Beatles because he is the only one who has voiced an animated tank engine. Ringo Starr is also known as Richard Starkey. He was born in Liverpool, I suspect. He was the drummer in the Fab Four, and Paul McCartney used to tease him. He would say, "How do you know if Ringo's at the front door? Because the knocking gets faster." Ringo Starr is married to an actress who I think was in a Bond film, although I can't quite return to the title.
So good. So good. Well done, Lucy. You went for nearly 28 seconds. Giles, you challenged first.
Yes, I did. Indeed, hesitation.
You have a point. You have the subject of Ringo Starr. 28 seconds to go, starting now.
You won't be surprised to know that Ringo and I, we're mates and have been for a number of years. Nothing we enjoy more than chilling out, listening to his greatest hit, and watching marvellous old runs of Thomas the Tank Engine while eating chips and other amusing things that come from his part of the world. And we really get on like a couple of old darlings, because underneath it all...
Graham Challenge.
I think representative of old.
Oh, maybe?
Yes.
Darlings.
Well, Graham, a correct challenge. There are still 6 seconds to go.
Oh,
yes.
All right. The chances of me filling them are very slim.
Ringo Starr's the subject, Graham. 6 seconds starting now.
Long before the Beatles, the Starr family of Liverpool were quite well known. It was Ringo...
Oh, Paul challenge.
Well, before the Beatles, his name wasn't Starr. His name was Starkey. So long before the Beatles, the Starr family, there wasn't a Starr family.
All right, Wikipedia.
So, Paul, you're correct. That is deviation. And anyway, you've got 1 second, Paul, on Ringo Starr, starting now.
So I said to the boys...
Right. So Paul Merton, with another point for speaking as the whistle went, and Giles Brandreth, we're back with you to begin. Oh, the subject, the Mad Hatter. Tell us something about the Mad Hatter in this game, starting now.
What a wonderful and fascinating subject to be given, Nicholas, and I do thank you. The Mad Hatter, created, of course, by Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, also known as Lewis Carroll, in 1865 in his immortal work, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. The original Mad Hatter was drawn by Sir John Tenniel and sported a hat, of course, because he was a Mad Hatter, though only described in the book as a hatter, and he and another character were referred to as being mad during the tea party scene. The Mad Hatter's birthday, as many people know, is the 14th of March. Coincidentally, also the birthday of Albert Einstein.
Repetition of birthday.
Yeah.
Why did I tell you?
I have no idea why I'd buzzed until you spoke.
I had observed it as well, so there's a correct challenge. Paul, another point to you. And there are 23 seconds available. The Mad Hatter, starting now.
One thinks of the various adaptations of Alice's adventures. Dudley Moore was in one of them. Was he the Mad Hatter? No, I think it was, in fact, Peter Sellers. No, now I say that, I think he was the March Hare or the Running Rabbit Around.
Lucy Porter, challenge.
Did you say no? Like, no, no.
Yeah, yes,
no,
yes.
No.
Yes.
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 No.
Lucy, you have the audience with you, I can tell you that.
I got a challenge, do I go now?
And you've got a correct challenge. And you've got 11 seconds if you need it. The Mad Hatter, starting now.
They said that...
I'll give you one more chance.
Okay, yeah,
do you begin after I say now? Right. Yeah. 10 seconds to go. Lucy, the Mad Hatter, starting now.
They said that the Mad Hatter...
Paul Cannon.
Deviation, she didn't hesitate.
The audience applause tells me you deserve a bonus point, Paul, for that. But you were interrupted, Lucy, so you get another point. You see, it all worked well for you. And there are still 8 seconds available. The Mad Hatter, starting now.
The Mad Hatter went mad because of mercury poisoning, so they say, which was something that afflicted hatters in the olden days because they used to lick the rim.
So Lucy Porter was in speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and she has leapt forward. She's still in fourth place. And we're back with you to begin, Paul. If I could travel back in time... 60 seconds, Paul, starting now.
If I could travel back in time, perhaps the period I would most like to visit would be around 20 minutes ago. That's when I was undoubtedly at my happiest. The story had started with just a minute. Everybody was equal. And then as the points were allocated, I realised that I wasn't doing as well as I sometimes did. But that's not really the reason why I would go back in time. I would like to go back to 1920s America, perhaps. Be in Hollywood, walking around...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of perhaps...
Yes. Oh, yes. You did repeat, perhaps. Graham, you've got him 37 seconds to go. Another point to you, of course. You have the subject of If I Could Travel Back in Time, starting now.
If I could travel back in time, I would probably visit the 1960s and see a fresh-faced Cher. Oh, imagine what that would look like. So glistening and pure, those eyes peering out of a face that she was born with. That...
Charles Challenge.
I know your producer. She was supposed to be a guest of yours later in the year. I thought I'd just intervene to help out.
You know, as I was saying it, I was thinking, do you think she listens to Radio 4?
Lack of gallantry. That is the deviation from the natural gallantry that we associate with Graham Norton.
Thank you, Giles. You've saved me from myself. Yeah.
So what is your challenge?
My challenge is he was making cheap remarks about a lady of riper years, implying that once upon a time her face was fresh and young, moist, exciting and inviting, and now it's a shriveled old thing that's been pulled out.
No, it doesn't matter.
I think I was suggesting that.
No. Incorrect challenge. And, Graham, you have 21 seconds still available. If I could travel back in time, starting now.
If I could travel back in time, I would visit the grand age of steam. That's what I'd do. Oh, to be on a train with smoke coming out of a chimney somewhere near the front. That's how they worked. I'm not an engineer. Paul was involved. It was a different time. That's why, if I could travel back in time, that is the time...
The awful thing is, they're all talking about travelling back in time, and all the times they're going to, I was there. Anyway, this is the final round.
Oh.
Yes. So I'll give you the situation as we move into the final round. It's very close. Lucy Porter's still in fourth place, but she's doing very, very well. And just ahead of her is Giles Brandreth, and then... almost equal in the lead, 1 point separating them. I won't say which way. Paul Merton and Graham Norton. And Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is clubbing. I don't know whether you're a clubber or not, but talk about the subject in this game starting now.
In my youth, I did enjoy clubbing. I once gave myself a black eye in my rush to get on the dance floor to enjoy Chain Reaction by Diana Ross. I flailed...
Lucy Porter Challenge.
Enjoy twice there? Enjoy clubbing and
probably.
To enjoy Diana
enjoy,
Ross.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Well,
yes. She's tasted blood.
Too much enjoyment all round. That all was right. Not...
Anyway, you've got in there and you've got 51 seconds if you need it. Lucy, another point to you, of course. Clubbing starting now.
I too used to enjoy clubbing in my youth, whereas now if I go to a club, I look like I'm a teacher in charge of some youths. I don't often get out these days, but when I do, the kind of club I like to go to...
Paul Tanner.
Repetition of club.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a difficult game, isn't it? Paul, a correct challenge. You have another point. Your subject is clubbing. 37 seconds available, starting now.
Myself and Nicholas Parsons belong to a rather esoteric club. It's called the Was Crippin' Innocent Society. And what we do is we gather around every Wednesday afternoon and we talk to each other about that famous doctor and we decide whether he was guilty of his crimes as charged or not. And one of the great things about clubbing is that once you get together with a lot of clubbable people, you can go together wherever you want to be.
Charles Challenge.
Repetition of together.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you can go together.
Yeah.
Correct challenge, Giles. Another point to you. 15 seconds available. Clubbing starting now.
My golden clubbing days date back to the 1960s when, as a gigolo in California.
Graham.
It's happening again.
It's a bit nauseous.
I would definitely interpret that as deviation. I don't ever see you as a gigolo.
In younger and happier days, when I was out clubbing, oh yes, Nicholas. You've established that I was your body double when I was a teenager.
So I don't know what to do there. Give it to him.
Yeah, I don't
know. Okay. Who's training at the moment? It won't make a blend bit of difference who I give it to, actually.
Just give it to me.
Give it...
yeah. Give it to Lucy.
Lucy, they say, give it to you. 9 seconds to go. Tell us something about clubbing starting now.
Manchester was the place that I did most of my clubbing, at the Hacienda or the PSV or sometimes Gilly's Rock World, which was one of the most disgusting establishments you could ever possibly hope to experience.
So, the final situation. Lucy Porter, who's not played the game before, finished up almost equal, 1 point separating her and Giles Brandreth, because equal in the lead with the same number of points was Paul Merton and Graham Norton. So we say you are our joint winners this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful, exciting players of the game. Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Lucy Porter and Giles Brandreth. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with great style. We thank our producer, Matt Strong. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely, generous audience here who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the team, goodbye, thank you. Tune in the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute!